So today I'll be looking at this particular section that goes like this. This is from Paul Jaffe, Flowers Fall. Carry the self forward to confirm the existence of the myriad dharmas is delusion. The myriad dharmas advancing and confirming the existence of the self is realization. Those who have great realization about delusion are Buddhas. Those who are greatly deluded within realization are sentient beings. Further, there are people who attain realization upon realization and people who are deluded within delusion. When Buddhas are truly Buddhas, they do not need to be aware of being Buddhas. However, they are actualized Buddhas and further actualize Buddhahood. In mustering the whole body and mind in seeing forms, in mustering the whole body and mind in hearing sounds, they are intimately perceived. But it is not like the reflection in a mirror, nor like the moon in the water. When one side is realized, the other side is dark. So let's look at the first part of the reading, which means exactly what it says. Carrying the self forward to confirm the existence of the myriad dharmas is delusion. The myriad dharmas advancing and confirming the existence of the self is realization. Those who have great realization about delusion are Buddhas. Those who are greatly deluded within realization are sentient beings. At another time, Dogen wrote, "The Dharma turns the self turns the Dharma. When the self readily turns the Dharma, the self is strong and the Dharma weak. On the other hand, when the Dharma turns the Dharma is strong and the self weak. However, the Buddha Dharma includes both of these. When you do mu, when you count breath, when you bow on entering the zendo, you are practicing, but it is a practice relegated to a specific place, time, and body. It is a limited practice. Limited because the perspective of the one doing these things is limited. It is akin to looking at today's spring-drenched sky through a pipe. I am doing mu. I am bowing. There is an object, a subject, and an activity. In a sense, we are practicing as though we are independent, substantial, and separate. We are practicing on the environment rather than with the environment or in the environment. Imagine the shift in the geopolitical world if we practiced with and in rather than on top of. When mu is doing you, when the breath is breathing you, or when bowing is giving you shape, form, and direction, there is no subject, there is no object, and we can say there isn't even an activity. Sometimes we do live on the environment. We walk around naming things, using things, and this is okay as long as we know that that is what we are doing. It is okay as long as we realize the perspective is limited to time and space. Be aware that you are, in many cases, when walking on the environment, substantiating a self which actually does not exist in the way you may think it does. Often our naming of others is a subtle way to give form, substance, identity, and worth to ourselves. Our naming is almost always in direct reference to ourselves, with the purpose of creating and maintaining a self, myself, which is delusion. Later in Genjo Kon, Dogen says to study the self is to forget the self, and to forget oneself is to be enlightened by the myriad dharmas. When mu does you, when the breath breathes you, when the poem writes you, there is a freedom, a spaciousness, a vastness that sees through time and space. The perspective and motivation becomes multi-centered. You become multi-centered, containing and contained by all things. You become intimate with all things as your very own self. However, whether delusion or realization, the field of our lives is the same. Whether self-centered or multi-centered, whether intimate or isolated, this is still all the dream of the Buddha. It is just that some see the dream as a dream, and so we call them Buddhas. And some do not, and so we call them sentient beings. But all beings, by nature, are Buddha, just as ice, by nature, is water. Apart from water, there is no ice. Apart from beings, no Buddha. Realization is just seeing through delusion within the world, our world, of delusion. Not seeing through delusion as delusion is being a sentient being or one who suffers. Dogen next says, further, there are people who attain realization upon realization and people who are deluded within delusion. When Buddhas are truly Buddhas, they do not need to be aware of being Buddhas. However, they are actualized Buddhas and further actualize Buddhahood. Again, this all seems rather straightforward. Although each waking up experience is full and complete, we are never full and complete. There is the continual and continuing deepening and clarifying of insight, and as importantly, the continual assimilation of waking up into our character and personality, which has many deeply grooved channels of reactive behaviors. And just as the water after a hard mountain rain naturally seeks out and finds warm channels to move in, we too tend towards our habit energy, especially in stressful or unfamiliar situations. In practice centers in the 1970s and early 80s, a particular person might have acted as a jerk, an a-hole. And it was said that after he had a waking up experience He was now an awakened asshole. I think the point trying to be made was after an experience, you did not immediately shift from sinner to saint. However, the hidden side of this reasoning allowed, excused, and condoned some very abusive and at times pathological acting out. One might have an experience, but until it is embodied, until it gives a different weighting and coloring, until it shades and leans toward the expression and presentation of self and other as not one, as not even, expression and presentation of self and other as not two, or as not even one. Until that time, that experience is only a state of mind. The experience is important, but until it is inculcated in the entirety of the body-mind, that experience is still immature. It is still an incubation. The waking up experience is a process that continues endlessly, out past even our own deaths. Later in the Genjo Koan, Dogen writes, when the Dharma does not fill your whole body and mind, you think it is sufficient. When the Dharma fills your body and mind, you understand that something is missing. Wu Tzu, in Case 38 of the Gateless Gate, presented those two lines like this. He said, it is like a buffalo that passes through a latticed window. Its head, horns, and legs all pass through. Why can't its tail pass through as well? So that's a koan I'll talk a little bit more on the fourth day when I bring up those two lines from Dogen again about sufficiency and insufficiency. And so we practice, sentient beings and Buddhas, actualizing and actualized. Lastly, Dogen writes, in mustering the whole body and mind and seeing forms, in mustering the whole body and mind and hearing sounds, they are intimately perceived. But it is not like the reflection in a mirror, nor like the moon in the water. When one side is realized, the other side is dark. I find myself enjoying this old word, muster, that Jaffe alone uses of all the translators I looked at. This word seems to be from a different time, an older time, and it continually takes me aback. I find on encountering it that I have to recollect myself, a meaning of muster, and then step forward from that point. Right recollection is the translation Eiken Roshi uses for the typically translated right mindfulness of the Eightfold Path. When I muster myself, I gather myself, I recollect myself and step forth from this moment. Ta-Nehisi translates this line, writing, when you see forms or hear sounds, fully engaging body-mind, you grasp things directly. Or you could say, I suppose, when you let the sounds and forms bind you, when they give you shape and form, you grasp things directly. Grasp, in this sense, means you get it. You get it with no mediator, with nothing between. Your skin and the skin of the other are the very same. When there is no mediator or no between, then this is intimacy. When mustering body, mind, and hearing sounds, when fully engaging and seeing forms, does the sound of the densho come to you? Or do you go to it? When mustering body, mind, and hearing sounds, does the sound of my voice come to you? Or do you go to it? Or the call of the gull, the sound of the boat going across water, does it come to you? Or do you go to it? Let yourself soften, relax. Let yourself become intimate, for intimacy is realization. Eiken Roshi says the word intimate is qian qie in Chinese. Its primary meaning is to the point, but having intimate connections is the significance. And in everyday usage, the term means kind or generous or warm-hearted. It is said that when Dogen was dying, he called his primary successor to his bedside, and he gave these encouraging words. "Please," he said, "continue to cultivate your grandmotherly heart." So on this first day of session, I can offer no better words. Be kind to yourself and your practice, and it will support you. Be generous to others, and they too will contain you. Be warm-hearted as you acknowledge the return of swallows and doves, of loons and finches. Relax and allow your grandmotherly heart, and welcome or allow each thing that arises, and then let go of whatever drops away. Stay with your specific practice and sit in the middle of rising and falling, of rising and falling. However, do stay with your practice. If you keep trying different methods, it is exceedingly difficult to muster yourself and become intimate. By switching from one practice to another, you are raising and nurturing, whether consciously or not, a doubt that will disturb and disperse the mind. Relax into your practice and trust this very place you find yourself in. Trust your unfolding life. Once, when Fei Yen was a young man and traveling from temple to temple with a few friends, they came to an out-of-the-way hermitage. The hermit Dijang came out and said to the young man, "Where are you going?" Fayan replied, "On pilgrimage, wherever my feet take me." Dijang said, "What do you expect from pilgrimage?" Fayan said, "I don't know." Dijang said, "Not knowing is most intimate." Earlier I said that intimacy and realization were synonyms. Now we can add not knowing to the list of synonyms for intimacy. In an earlier talk, I said that not knowing was having confidence in your true nature. Now I am saying, echoing Dijang, that not knowing is your true nature. Am I being intimate? Am I not knowing in this moment? What lovely questions to guide and guard us in our practice on the cushion. With either of those questions, immediately you recollect yourself. Immediately you are engaged. Immediately your grandmotherly heart is opened. The other night, a two-year-old, along with her parents, was visiting. There were six adults and the one babe. As she sat on the floor making marbles run, we all sat around her, almost enraptured by her each move. There was a beauty in the little girl's movements, a beauty in her speech and in the air. And we were all grandmothers taking absolute delight in and with. The grandmother sees the light that we always are and responds from and to that. Of course, this doesn't mean the grandmother only coos and ahs. Aiken Roshi, with his grandmotherly eyes, was often quite demanding and strict. The grandmotherly heart is the heart of understanding and love, and it is what we are continually cultivating in our Zazen, in our Kinhin, and in our Sangha relations. So now we end it with the last sentence in this section. When one side is realized, the other side is dark. This is not like the moon in the water. This is not like the reflection in the mirror. It is before that. Nishijima's translation is rather explanatory. He writes, "While we are experiencing one side, we are blind to the other side." Remember that koan is made of two ideographs, ko, which means the way of light, and an, which means the way of dark. Dogen's writing continually presents the interplay of these differing manifestations, the individuality of things and their absolute equality. When one side is realized, the other side is dark. I do not know a thing about physics, but light is both a wave and a particle, and researchers are only able to see one of these manifestations at a time. When it is night, we do not see the sun, and when it is day, the stars and moon are obscured. The way of koan, the way of light and dark is similar. When one side shows itself, the other is hidden. When one is illuminated, the other darkens. One time Yun Men showed his staff to the assembly, and he said, "This staff has become a dragon. It has swallowed up the whole universe, the mountains, rivers, and the great earth. Where are they to be found?" When we grasp the dragon, who is always sitting on our zafu, when we grasp the dragon, who is always eating with our forks and spoons and sleeping in our bed, when we intimately perceive her, our bodies become fully engaged. When we intimately perceive her, our minds are mustered, and we begin to move from our grandmotherly heart in the light and in the dark. Okay, thank you.